Today we come to this thought of a transition time. The situation, no matter the situation in our life, think about it for just a moment. When we think of transition, okay? Another word that comes to mind when we think of transition, and that is the word troubling. Time of transition can be troubling. It's unknown, right? There's things that we are experiencing that weren't what they were before, because it's a time of doing from one thing to the next. And that's exactly where we find the apostles right now. They're in the midst of a transition. As we know, they have spent over 3 years with the Lord Jesus Christ, and now something new and exciting is about to take place. Now, again, we have the completed, perfect, pure, infallible, those all mean the same thing, Word of God. But we have it. They didn't. Keep that in mind. So this is a time of unknown, okay? So it can be very troubling. You know, I think back at Anchor Baptist Church, and I think back at our 19 years now, beginning year number 20, and I can think of some transition times, especially within the last 3 years. I can still remember sitting in the room where we had the nursery right across from the office. I can still remember sitting in there with two city employees, and it was at the end of 2016, and I still remember the way the meeting went, and it was basically that we had to find a new place to meet. We've been meeting there since for 15 and a half years, and now we needed to find a place to meet that we had to move. So it was a time of transition, okay? It was a time of the unknown. We had been doing what we had been doing, and we ended up having to, as most of you know, but not everyone who's listening knows, we ended up not only moving to another location, our current location, which is Armstrong Avenue, but we had to change our entire schedule on Sunday. We had had a 10 o'clock, an 11 o'clock, and a 6 p.m. for years. In fact, even way back, we used to have an 8:30, a 10 o'clock, and an 11 o'clock. That was a time of transition when the Maple Room was packed and it couldn't fit any more people in there, and we waited and decided to add another morning service, and then it almost was packed out as well. Not the morning one, but the second service continued to be packed out even though we, anyway, transition. You know, from going from a traditional, it's not necessarily in the Bible that you have to have Sunday morning and Sunday night, but going from a traditional set of services to that, it was a time of transition. You maybe have experienced a transition when you had to change jobs. Maybe not only did you change job, but you had to change where you lived because of the job. Possibly it meant moving to another country, not just to another province. Time of transition. Maybe it was moving from one place to the next, even within the same city. It's a time of transition. Maybe it involved a child who was now finished grade 12. And I believe we have one young man finishing grade 12 this year from Anchor Baptist Church. Astor Quignano is finishing grade 12. And so, time of transition. What next? You know, Bible college, university, you know, transition, something different. You don't, you know, it's not there. I don't think we have a grade 13. Maybe some places have grade 13. I think I've heard of that before, but we don't, as far as I know. So it's a time of transition. It could be when your children got married. A time of transition, you know. And now you add another child as an in-law, and you've never had one of those in-laws before. And you added another set of parents, the parents of your son or daughter's family. And so, time of transition. And on and on and on and on it goes. Okay? I think you understand what I'm trying to say by way of introduction, that transition can be very troubling. It's exciting, yes, but it can also be a great challenge. It can be very troubling. Here in our passage of Scripture that we read, we have the final act of the old dispensation. Okay? We believe that we are living right now in what we call the church age. The church age. This is when the church age is about to begin, by the way. Not yet where we're at, but almost, okay? It's coming. It's soon, in the next couple of chapters, okay? And I guess it's empowered there anyway. We could say that it had already began with Christ and his disciples. But what I'm saying is, it was the age of the Old Testament that was coming to an end, and it was now a new covenant that was going to take place. This is the final act before the beginning of the new age. Something brand new was going to happen in the second chapter of Acts. And that was this, that God was going to pour out his Holy Spirit. Now, we know that the Holy Spirit comes on the scene a few times in the Old Testament, but not in the way that he's going to come on the scene in the New Testament, where Jesus goes back and then he sends the Comforter, the Holy Spirit of God, to live in us 24/7. He's near. Amen? As we just heard, God is near, and he's near in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. They had not experienced that yet. And so, a time of transition. The book of Acts is the Lord Jesus. This is something you can look at when you think of the book of Acts. Is the Lord Jesus alive through his church? Think of that. He was crucified, buried, risen again. He's gone back to heaven. We're going to jump into that here in just a minute. But he's alive through his church. And by the way, I'm so thankful that in 2020, even though there's a lot of stuff in this world today that the devil is stirring up. We talked about it in Sunday school. Don't get distracted by what the devil's doing. Keep looking at the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him, you know what the joy that was set before him was? It was the fact that he was about ready to go back to heaven. That's what I think. It could be that he was going to die for the sins of you and me too. But I think there's a second maybe application of that he knew that as soon as he died, he was going to rise again and get back to heaven to be seated at the right hand of the Father. That could be the joy that was set before him too. Anyway, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and yes, he is now at the right hand of the Father. And so God is near, and Jesus Christ is alive today, and we're thankful for it, and the church is alive. Why? It's his church. It's not mine. It's not yours. And we thank him for it. So, number one, let's jump into the outline here today. Number one from our text, transition is a reality. Transition is a reality. We see that in verses 15 to 20. The Lord Jesus had been with the disciples, as I mentioned, for over 3 years. And what we're referring to is his earthly ministry, okay? Now, he was alive, obviously, 30 years prior to that. And then he had his earthly ministry from around 30 to 33. And so that's what we're referring to. Now, where we read today, Jesus Christ is not bodily with the disciples anymore. He has already gone back to heaven. And there are 11 disciples waiting. We've been talking about that. If you're new today, then you can read the previous verses. And we're kind of building and working our way through these chapters of the book of Acts. They're waiting for something. They're waiting for the Holy Spirit. God has told them, Christ told them before he went back, to go there and to wait. It's a time of transition. That's what a transition is, going from one thing to the next. And transition is a reality. It's a time of transition from the time with Jesus Christ to the empowering of the church at Pentecost. Letter A, and we talked about this, the Lord Jesus ascension. The Lord Jesus ascension. Okay, at some point, and I'm going to have you go to a couple of verses in Psalm here, so be ready to turn to them. At some point within the 10 days of waiting, remember there's 10 days, he was alive for 40 days, he goes back to heaven, 10 days go by, and then the Holy Spirit comes, Pentecost, okay? So sometime between that, notice what happens, the Bible says Peter stands up. Now I find this to be very interesting, don't you? If you know your Bible at all, you know what Peter had done not long before this. 40 days, right? Okay? 43 days, give or take, right? Because he was alive 40 days. He was in the tomb 3 days. So let's say 43 days, give or take, prior to this standing up. What was Peter to do? What was Peter doing? Do you remember? He was denying the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times. Not once. That's why Jesus said to him 3 times, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And he, every time, yeah, I love you. He was reminding him, yeah, well, you said you didn't even know who I was 3 times. And you know what? Don't pick on Peter too much. How many times have you and I lived our life as if we don't even know who Jesus is, and yet he's done everything for us, and he's near to us, and he's with us in the valley of the shadow of death. We don't have to fear any evil, for he is with us. His rod and staff, he comforts us. and all of this. Praise the Lord for that. Now, who stands up, though? Peter. I think this is definitely an indication, once again, of Peter's personality and temperament. In this case, his boldness was a good thing. And Peter stands up. Nothing wrong with being bold for Christ. I think he when he denied the Lord, he learned from that. He got, hey, by the way, he got right with God sometime in the last 43 days. And do you know who's going to be the key preacher in Acts chapter 2? Yeah, that's right. Yes, that's right. You know, it's Peter. It's amazing what God can do in the life of someone who's willing to repent of their sin. It's amazing what God can do in the life of someone who's willing to say, I am wrong. Hey, everybody, every dad, every man who's full of pride, that's me and that's you. All of you men that are listening today, say this with me. Ready? I am wrong. You've been wrong before, you'll be wrong again. There's nothing wrong with you admitting to someone in your life, in your family, I'm wrong. Would you forgive me? Most importantly, go to your God today. I'm not just the men. I know I'm picking on you guys today, but we're the ones that are filled, it seems like, many times with, no, it's not our problem. We're not the ones. It's the. Hey, God forgave Peter. Somewhere in the line here, God got a hold of Peter's heart, and Peter stands up and preaches, and he quotes from the book of Psalm. Would you go with me to the book of Psalm, chapter 69? Psalm, chapter 69. You know that God's word is beautiful. I mean, anybody that says they don't get anything out of the word of God, two reasons why. Number one, they've never read it. I mean the whole thing, cover to cover, okay? That's number one, they've never read it. Or number two, they're not saved. And you're not going to understand a lot of the Bible. Now, there are parts of the Bible that you will understand when you're not saved, because God uses His Word to draw us to Himself. So you can't make that blanket statement. I'm just saying, though, that I think it's the most exciting book there is to read is the Bible. There's nothing like the action of the Bible. There's nothing like the history of the Bible. There's nothing like the romance of the Bible, the poetry of the Bible. It's a story. It's a book. It's His story. I mean, that's the Word of God. So here's Peter, who doesn't have the book of Acts. He doesn't have the Gospels. And here he is in Psalm 69. You're there by now. It says in verse 25, let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. And turn over to Psalm 108. Psalm 108. And I've got to pick it up here. Or excuse me, Psalm 109. 108's good too. But let's look at 109. And let's look at verse 8. It says, let his days be few, and let another take his office. And that's exactly what he's talking about here in Acts chapter number 1. Here in Psalm 109 verse 8, he's referring back to Judas and how Judas would betray the Lord. And then he would lose his, obviously, he was chosen by the Lord, but, and we have a whole point on him, so let me just keep going. The Bible tells us, back in Acts chapter 1, there are about 120 waiting. Notice that in verse number 15. There's about 120 people that are ready and waiting, okay? Now think about it, though. That's not very many people. 120, that's about the size of Anchor Baptist Church. When we weren't meeting, we were a little more than that. But you think about that in the whole known world, there's 120 people waiting for something. I found this quote: 120. That means they had one person for every 30,000 Jews in the land of Israel in this current time. That's pretty big odds. They were small in quantity, but they were large in power. And in 30 years. They were already in Rome, and the gospel had spread everywhere. I'm saying 30 years from this point, they had made it to Rome, and the gospel had spread everywhere, and the world was turned upside down. And what is the point here? It doesn't matter how many people are what we start with. What matters is this. We must have the power of God. We must have God working in and through us. We must have the old time religion, as some people would say. We must be biblicists. Amen? Biblicists. We must be Bible livers and Bible believers. and sharers. Their numbers seemed to be small, but they were submitted to the plan of God. Isn't that what we need in 2020, church? Submitted to the plan of God. What is the plan of God? That we would live our lives in fear of Him and keep His commandments and tell people about Him and love others and continue to be faithful until He calls us home. And we have that time of transition, absent from this body. Oh, what a transition that will be, to be absent from this old sin-cursed body to the joys and the pleasures of heaven and the presence of the Lord. So what was coming, they had no idea. The thing I'm always amazed about is this. They had no idea what was coming. 120 people, Peter's preaching. They're just waiting. Somewhere in that 10-day period, within that 10 days, wow, power of God is about to fall. Letter B, we see the betrayal of Judas. The betrayal of Judas. Peter says, paraphrasing, men, the absence of Judas was in all the scriptures as far back as David. As far back as David. That's part of the plan. God's plan did not get messed up. The plan of God. And I gave this verse, let's see here, if I can find it quickly. And let me just turn to Psalm 69. Put a pause on. Can we pause the recording? No, those don't happen, do they? You can't pause when you're live at the church either, can you? Psalm 69. Let's see if I'm right. If not, we're going to move on. No, that's the one I read a minute ago. Okay, that's okay. There's another verse in the book of Psalm, and I had it, and for some reason, it slipped me on my page. Maybe it'll show up here in just a minute. That God, this was written of in the Psalms prior to this happening. Now, the greatest tragedy of lost opportunity ever, in my opinion. Now, opportunity. Think about opportunity. Opportunity is good, but opportunity needs to be fulfilled into reality. Many people have opportunities that come their way, but nothing comes out of it. Can you imagine a greater opportunity than walking 3.5 years with the Lord Jesus Christ and then your life ending the way Judas Iscariot's life ended? I think his was the greatest lost opportunity that anyone ever had, that he could walk with the Lord. The Bible talks about him being numbered with them. He was part of what they did. He was going to he saw the miracles. He heard the parables. We talked about that in the last hour. You think about it. If someone knew everything they could know about Jesus Christ, it was Judas Iscariot. If there's anyone in hell tonight that knows more about the Lord Jesus Christ than Judas Iscariot knew about him, I don't know who it might be, because he was there with him for 3.5 years. To me, that is a very sobering thought. Can I actually read that? Judas knew everything anyone could ever know. I misquoted that. Judas knew everything anyone could ever know about, and I've capitalized that in my notes, about Jesus Christ. Everything. But yet he sits, or falling, or whatever, in hell today. Friend, you may know everything about Jesus Christ. You may know about his ministry and his miracles and his message, and you may know about his death on the cross and his burial and his resurrection, and you may know about his ascension, and you may know about all there is to know, and you may even have a book on the life of Christ in your library and you've read it, or you've studied the life of Christ. You can know all there is to know about someone, in this case, the Son of God, and yet knowing about Jesus Christ isn't good enough to get you into heaven. Just think about Judas Iscariot. I truly believe he knew everything there was to know about someone by watching his mannerisms and watching the way he had compassion on people. And yet, the betrayal of Judas is a reality today. And I wonder today, do we have something like this even in our own church, where we have someone who is coming to the services and watching the online preaching, and it could be a teenager who's going into the Zoom room and they're listening to the teaching of the Sunday school teacher. And I'm not trying to be unkind and calling you Judas Iscariot. What I'm saying is I'm comparing the fact that he knew everything, yet he's in hell today. Oh, my friends, don't be like a Judas Iscariot and get all this knowledge and know everything there is to know, but miss the life-changing power that only Christ can give you. By faith, transition is a reality, number one. Number two, transition requires analysis and analyzing. It requires analysis, and we see that in verses 21 to 25. What's going to happen in these verses is they're going to have to find someone that meets the requirements to replace Judas. Letter A, we see choosing a proven man. Choosing a proven man. Look at verse 21. Wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. So we're going to, this is going to be someone who was there. They were not originally chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ, but they were there. They saw him. They witnessed him. It says in verse 22, they saw him get baptized. They saw him baptized by John the Baptist. Think of this. This is someone who followed Christ for those 3.5 years of ministry unto that same day that he was taken up from us. So they saw this. These two, Justus and Matthias, they both were there when he was baptized by John. They both were there when he died on the cross. Those were the requirements they had to meet. And it says, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection? And so they not only that, but they saw him after he had risen again. So they were choosing someone. Okay, this isn't someone who just walked on the scene, had his hair combed just right, had on the best robe money could buy, and the best sandals money could buy, and had the look of an apostle, whatever that means. I don't know what it means. I'm just thinking about it, you know. No, this is someone, as we said in letter A, who was proven. This was someone who had gone through each and every step of the way. They had seen Jesus ran out of town. People wanted to kill him. They had experienced the miracle in Cana. They probably saw Lazarus come back to life. These were proven men. They hadn't ran away. They hadn't denied Jesus. They were proven men. These men would have been trusted. These men had already trusted in. They had already been following the Lord Jesus Christ. These men would have seen the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to submit to you, we need men of God today at Anchor Baptist Church that are walking with God. These two men walked with the Son of God. They were proven men. Church, we need proven men. We need men of God that are willing. You don't have to be the preacher. You don't have to be the pastor to be a man of God. Every saved male is a man of God. And I want to call on you men of Anchor Baptist Church. I'm your under-shepherd. Anybody else listening, I'm calling on you too. But if you have a pastor, go to your pastor about this. And I'm calling on you at church, Anchor Baptist. We need proven men of God. That is the problem in society today. Not enough men of God. I'm raising my hand. The responsibility as a husband, the responsibility as a father, the responsibility as a man of God, not a pastor, but a man of God. There is a responsibility as a pastor, yes, but I'm talking about the responsibility that we have as men of God. We need men of God today that are walking with God every day in their Bibles, every day praying, every day being a godly witness, every day loving our wife, every day loving our children, training our children. What a need that we have to have proven men of God in every church today in 2020. What would happen if we had a revival in the midst of all of this upheaval and not having churches? When we start meeting together again, as God brings us together again, that we sense a mighty revival in the men. Maybe this is a week early. Maybe this is the Father's Day message. I don't know. But I'm saying this, it's impressed upon me right now in this moment to again implore you men, let's be proven men of God. And how are we going to be proven? We're going to be proven by the Word of God that it's sharp and it's life-changing and it's life-giving. These men were proven men. They had walked with the Lord. Are you walking with the Lord, sir? Hey, teenager, you're in this group too. Teenage young man, grade 12, grade 11, grade 10, grade 9, grade 8, grade 7. You're in the youth group. You're a man of God. Are you walking with God? You need to be in your Bible every day. men of God, teenagers, young men of God, old men of God, senior saints of God, men of God, challenging the men right now. We need to be proven men. We need to be in the book. Get the new look from the old book. Get the new look from the Bible. It not only gets us saved, but it keeps us clean, keeps us sanctified, ready to go. When God says go, we're ready to go. We don't have to clean up. Hey, think of it this way. Think about your car today. Think about your car today. What if somebody very important needed a ride today? Would you be able to pick them up in your car? Or would you have to take it down to the car? I'm not talking about washing. I'm mainly the inside right now. Hard to keep a car clean around here, even in the summer with all this rain we're getting. I was going to wash my car yesterday. Glad I didn't, because it would be a mess. It's a mess right now on the outside. But I did have time in between in the afternoon to vacuum them out. You know what I had all over my car? I had dirt in my car. I had sand in my car. I had those white little things that flutter off the trees and fly in the windows when you have the window down. And there's been times when I was a bit younger that I had a car that wasn't worthy of picking somebody up. And I'm not talking about the outside. I'm talking about the inside. I would have had to have gone by somebody's house and filled up their garbage can. Maybe not quite that bad. But what I'm saying is, guys, hey, you know who lives inside of you? The Holy Spirit of God. What kind of garbage is in your life that needs to be out of there? What kind of wickedness is in your life and in my life that needs to be out of there? Hey, men, let's be proven men of God. We need it. The church needs it. Your family needs it. The church, the testimony of God. We need to be men of God that are proven men of God. I wrote this down. Every home needs men who are humbly learning more and more about God and His Word. Micah 6:8, he has showed thee, O man. Now I think this is not just for men. What is good and what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Choosing a proven man. Oh, may God look down from heaven and see, oh, I'm not perfect and you're not perfect, but may He see men of God that want to walk with Him. That's what we need. Then we see letter B. We see following a prayerful plan. Following a prayerful plan. Notice that. Verse 24. And they prayed. Now, I don't know what they means. I have an idea of what they means. I wouldn't tell you what I thought it meant. I mean, I do have my idea of what they means. You know what I think it means? All 120 people prayed. I think they goes back to verse 15 that says there was about 120 there. You know why? Because this wasn't a decision to be taken lightly. Transition requires prayer. Taking a new job, that's transition. You know what, sir or ma'am, teenager, you know what you need to do? Time out. God, is this the job for me? You know what? If the job takes you away from your relationship with God, I don't think the job's for you. Meaning, if it takes you out of church, if it takes you out of God's will, if it takes you away from... Now, again, we're going to be in the world. We're going to work. We're going to rub elbows and shoulders with people in the world. You can't find... That's just the way it goes. I mean, I was in the telemarketing industry for many, many years, working in fast food places. I mean, all of that and so forth and so on. And I pray for you men. And I know our men are going out into the world. We don't need to be of it, but we are in it. What I'm saying is this. No... Seek the Lord's will. I believe God has a perfect job for you. I believe God has a perfect career for you, teenager. Have you been praying? God, what do you have for me? Time of transition requires prayer. Time of transition requires prayer. They followed a prayerful plan. Everybody there prayed. Number one, underneath this, it's not in the outline, but number one underneath this, only God knows the heart. By praying, they asked God to show them the inner character of the man. In other words, that's another thing too. We can't see everything that God sees, which is why we need His help. We can't see like God's eyes can see, but we can ask for God's vision on the matter. We can ask for God's direction on the matter. I'm so sure of this, what I'm about to say, that God is concerned about the workings of His church. That a church, and I've heard this said, it's not original with me, but a church only moves forward on her knees. Transition. By the way, we're in a time of transition right now. If you can't see that, sorry, the devil's got blinders on you. This is a time of transition. At no time in my lifetime or anyone else's, quite frankly, like this, maybe going back to Bible days, or when they had to go underground, but still even that's different than this particular thing we're dealing with. But it is a time of transition that we've never experienced. It's unprecedented for us. So you know what? We better be praying. We better be seeking the Lord on this thing. As we get to meet back together again. Again, what I'm saying is, I wonder who's listening today, Anchor Baptist Church, and we've tried to continue to communicate with you and text messages and emails and drive-through things and all of this and that and the other thing. But ultimately, the responsibility lies in your lap and in my lap. Are we praying about this time of transition? Say what the devil's doing. He's circling. He's looking for you to be looking for your heart to be cold. He's going to capitalize on that. He's going to put a little more ice on it. Oh, may God help us to be praying about this. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:18, you know the verse, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance. Persevering in prayer. Not just praying one time, but over and over and over again. In Colossians 1 and 3, we give thanks to God. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Oh, this was a time of change and transition, and something's coming, and we don't really even know exactly what it is, so we got to pray about this. And Peter stands up, and he leads, and he preaches, and he's giving direction, and he's saying what's got to be done. And then they say, you know what? We can't go any further. And they prayed. And then number three, lastly, transition involved replacement. Transition involved replacement. Verse 26, and they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Letter A. The manner of their choice. Have you ever drawn straws for something? Ever done that? Or maybe something of that nature? I'm going to read to you what Smith's Bible Dictionary says about this particular verse, okay? So this is according to Mr. Brother Smith and his Bible Dictionary. I found it interesting. Among the Jews, lots were used with the expectation that God would so control them as to give a right direction to them. They were very often used by God's appointment. Guess what? You never read about it again in the New Testament. This is the last time you read about it. Why? Why? Because it's a time of transition. See, something's coming. Well, it's not a thing, it's someone. Someone is coming that they don't have to go to the system of lots to figure out what to do, because they're going to have God in them. I believe this is not a gambling type sense at all. Okay? That's not what's happening here. This is the, and it's in the Old Testament. You can read it for yourself, different times where they talk about the lot. It's in the Psalms. The whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. The lot is cast into the lap, I think, and the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. So this is the last account that we read of the lot. This is, and I wrote this down, this is the last dispensational act that was consistent with the Old Testament, the drawing of lots. It is never heard of again. And here's what I wrote. We don't need this kind of leading from God anymore. We don't take a coin out of our pocket. Okay? I actually have a coin in my pocket today. That's rare. And we say, okay, heads, we're going to hire somebody as an additional pastor, an additional assistant pastor. Is that a head? Do we have heads in our coins? That's a bear, sorry. Okay, bear, and we hire somebody. And Elizabeth II, we don't hire anybody. Okay? And it's kind of like the way I used to do it with friends of mine before they figured out what I was doing. I would say, heads I win, tails you lose. I'll think about that for a minute. Heads I win. Anyway, You'll get that one by slow freight, but that's okay. We don't do that. We don't treat God's will that way. We don't flip a coin and figure out if we're going to do something for God. What do? We ask the Lord. We have the Holy Spirit of God. What is He there for? He's there to lead us, and He's there to guide us into all truth. Amen and amen. And by the way, if you're so cluttered up with the world, you're not going to be able to hear God's leading. If I'm so cluttered up with the things of the flesh, I'm not going to be able to be led by the Spirit of God as the Spirit of God wants to lead me. The manner of their choice, they used lots. God controlled that because God is sovereign. But never again do we see this. Now something different's happening, and that is the Holy Spirit of God. Then letter B, we see the man of their choice. Well, the man of their choice was God's choice. And his name is Matthias. His name means a gift from the Lord. A gift from the Lord. Now, again, just like the lot that is listed here, and interesting, we do not read of him anywhere else in Scripture. This is the only place we read of this man, Matthias. But here's the symbolism behind all of this. They had to have 12 apostles because of the 12 tribes of Israel. There would have to be 12. And so, in order for the church to move forward, there was one more piece that had to be brought in. So this was something that was of God. This was something that was a symbol, if you will, or a stamp of approval, if you will, that now the church is ready to move forward. And you know what? You know what I gained from that 2020? God always has a plan for His church. This day that we're living was part of His plan. Always. Always. I mean, we look at it and we think, what in the world's going on? And God is saying, no, that's not how I look at it. I got a different view, Turner, than you. This was part of the plan. It's always part of the plan. This was part of God's plan. Today's part of God's plan. He always provides. By the way, not only does God always have a plan for His church, but secondly, underneath this, God always provides for His church. God always provides. The church is about to be empowered at Pentecost. God brings in man number 12, so now they're ready. And what does it do? What happens in chapter 2? Boom! Here we go. I mean, it's on now, as they say, right? It's on. I mean, the Holy Spirit's going to come down. Peter's going to preach. Everybody's going to hear it in their own tongue. Thousands and thousands are going to be saved. The church is going to be on fire. And 120 is going to lead to thousands and thousands and thousands. Why? Because God always has a plan for His church, and God always provides for His church. You know what? We have seen that in the last 19 years, the plan of God. There have been numerous times where we did not see it, and then eventually we saw it. In other words, there were things that were coming in, there were things that were happening, and we had no idea what God was doing. And then there was that light bulb moment. You know what I mean by that? The light bulb moment, when the light comes on and spiritually speaking, oh, that's why. I see it now. I don't have to see it, and you don't have to see it either. That's the faith life. But I believe God reveals and God shows us things along the way as we follow His plan. 2020 is part of God's plan for every Bible preaching church all over the world. What is He doing? I don't know all that He's doing, but it's His plan. Purging part of it? More than likely. It's His plan. Why? Because it's His church. I'm His bride. You're His bride as part of the church. But by the way, isn't God so good that He provides for His church? We have this book. People have given their life for this book. I'm not talking about just in the Bible days. I'm talking about within the last hundreds of years, people have given their life for this book. God provided this book for His church. Look, we didn't write this. Peter tells us that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This isn't the Baptist idea. This is God's book. So God provided for His church by giving us His word. God provided for His church by giving us His Spirit to guide us as we go into this book. And because, a lot of people take this book and make it say whatever they wanted to say. That's not God's leading. That's man's leading. We want to be careful not to do that. I want to be, I'm not excluding me from that. I don't want to take the scripture and make it Benology, Turnerology. No, we want to have good theology. We want to teach about God and proper from his book, but God provided this. God provided the Holy Spirit of God that we could understand it. God's provided it for us financially. God's provided for us emotionally. God's provided for us. God always provides for his church. It could be said today that most, if not all, churches are in some form of transition. I think it's timely. So timely. And I don't even think it's 2020. I think it's 2019, too. I think it'll be next year, too. And see, a time of transition is, it's inevitable, part of reality. And transition should bring us to prayer, like this group was brought to prayer. Transition should bring us to self-evaluation. Transition should bring us closer to our God. And they're about to experience that, aren't they? I wonder today, do you know Christ as your Savior? Here's a guy, 3.5 years, who walked with the Lord, who's in hell tonight. Judas Iscariot is his name. The Bible's very graphic about how he died there, isn't it? You know, tried to hang himself, and many believe that while he was hanging himself, the rope that he was on broke forth, and he smashed into a bunch of rocks. And it's pretty graphic. That was nothing, though, compared to when he left his body and went to hell. And someday he'll come out of hell momentarily. He'll be judged and he'll go to the lake of fire forever. Lake of fire was not prepared for Judas Iscariot. It's not been prepared for you either. It's been prepared for the devil and his demons. But when you transition from this world to the next, our dear Muriel Hilton is possibly minutes and moments away from heaven. I don't know. Might even already be there. Who knows? Only the Lord knows. The point is this. I knew her testimony. I know her testimony. Her time of transition is going to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. Because there was a time in her life when she recognized Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was the only way to heaven. And as a young girl, she put her faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say it's been almost 90 years since she got saved. That's amazing, isn't it? Sunday school teacher. I remember sitting and listening to her talk many times about working in the church, serving the Lord. Her transition time is going to be one of great joy. What about yours? There will come a day when you will transition from this body to eternity. Are you ready? Are you ready for that? Do you know Jesus Christ, not just as the Son of God or a good man or a miracle worker, but is he your personal Savior? Why not trust him today? So that you're ready for your day of transition.